In the name of Jesus Christ, I speak. Actually, it's a very hard, constantly study with the book of prophets, you know, Jeremiah and book of Hosea. Actually, it's a hard, it's not like a New Testament. It's also quite stressful because a lot of judgments and mention about the warning and destructions and feel quite stressed. But it helps us to not only positive reinforcement help us, but sometimes negative reinforcements also give us a great benefit. I'm sure because when you study the book of Jeremiah, you can tell. Because Jeremiah, this is the prophet that he warning to the land, the kingdom of Judea for their end, which is their final judgment. Book of Hosea also, this is the last prophet to make a final warning and a judgment to the northern kingdom in Israel. So these two is quite a lot of passage in a sense is quite similar, and many things is like considered as a common understandings. If you know the history book of northern kingdoms, there were the ways very similar pattern of the way they destroy the voice of the kingdoms. Northern kingdom, kingdom of Israel, they were destroyed by Assyria. At the beginning they're trying to please Assyria because they have to be survive. But Assyria is very powerful kingdoms, but they have to show do their best to you know give something to pleasing them. So after Jeroboam II, and later on, following king was killed, but after 6 months. So the following, after that one, and bring the a lot of silver, 10,000. It was a 1,000 silver. I forgot it's 1,000 silver. To dedicate to the Assyrian kings. But actually, Assyrian king took over this money and then later on come back to more oppressed to this northern kingdom. And later on, northern kingdom, they're trying to looking for the way to, which is to protect themselves, looking for the help to the Egypt. And then Assyria finally come approach to the Samaria and surround them for 3 years and destroy them. And southern kingdom also similar way, they're also destroyed by the Babylonians. They're trying to protect themselves at the beginning. So that's they try to survive themselves. But God constantly, Book of Isaiah, you know, mentioned that do not rely on the Babylon or other place, but try rely on me, then I will save you. But they do not doing that way. And then later on, Babylon, it's not helpful, so they turn around to the Egypt. And then finally, Babylon come and destroy. So, BC 722, Northern Kingdom was destroyed by Assyria, and BC 586, destroyed by Babylon. Similar way, pattern of way, they all both of them destroy. Because they do not trust in God. Because they do not rely on God. In our life, this kind of history is repeated. Sometimes this is a great warning for us. In our life, it doesn't mean the northern kingdom and southern kingdom, you know, they do not know God. They knew God. But thing is, they do not trust in God. They do not rely on God. We believe in God too. You and I, we believe in God. We have a Bible. We read the Bible. But the thing is, how much we trust in Him. Is that truly our heart is truly pure enough to rely on God only? We come to the Lord, but if our heart is split into two, then God do not listen to our prayer. God do not listen to our crying up from our heart. Let's turn to the book of Hosea chapter 4. Book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 1. What God said to the Israelites is that they have something missing in their life, a very crucial one, because of the because of this, God decided to punish them. First one is faithfulness, the missing of this one in their life. And second one is chapter 4, verse 1, say, or kindness and or knowledge of God in the land. So these are three missing out of their life. And since those things not within their life, what things in their life beside this, since they do not have this, and the other things that come onto their life is chapter 4, verse 2. There is a swearing and deceptions and murder and stealing and adultery, and they employ violence so that a bloodished followed a bloodished. So here you mentioned the verse 2, because you have no faithfulness and because you have no kindness, because you have no knowledge of God, so what you have is such kind of, you know, deception, murder, stealing and adulteries. And violence, and bloodish follow bloodish, kind of mix up the whole life, kind of chaos turn to a spiritual sense, and physical life also eventually. We know in the human history, once they morally, they corrupted, and all this kind of, which is kind of, you know, the sin, and coming into to them, to destroy themselves and whole kingdoms also. Verse 3, therefore the land mourns, and everyone who lives in it languishes, and along with the beast of the field, and the birds of the sky, and also the fish of the sea disappeared. What here the verse 3 mentioned, that since you do not have this faithfulness and kindness and knowledge of God, and all the sin come into the in your life, and also your surround, your land, and all the livestock, and all the beasts in the field, and the fish, all these things disappear, which is your life can be rough and end up to desolate yourself. And that's a warning to the Israelites. I think this is kind of a sequential matters. Later on, the Israelites, they were destroyed by Assyria. Indeed, the land was desolated, you know, physically. And no, certain kingdom also, when they King Nebuchadnezzar came from the Babylon and destroyed utterly everything in the certain kingdoms. So their whole land was isolated, desolated at that time, so physically also. So it happened, it come true to this prophet. Verse 4 and 5, and yet let no one find a fault, and let none offer reproof. It sounds like do not rebuke, but actually it means already kind of keeping up. Your sin is too much. Your people are like those who contend with the priest. So verse 5. So you will stumble by day, and the prophet also will stumble with you by night, and I will destroy your mothers. Here God telling the Israelites, since your sins it's truly enough, to deep enough to being destroyed to by me. Even the priests, they also engaged in committing sins. They just like Israelites. They're nothing different. So even the daytime and nighttime here described, the verse 5 says, so you will stumble by day, and the prophet also will stumble with you by night, which is through the day and night, the destruction will be followed as a schedule, at my schedules. And I will destroy your mother. I think mother is the symbol of, blessings. We can say the concept as, I even destroy your mother is a source of blessing, source of I can't find out the words. Anyway. I'm sure because you can understand what that means. Let's look at the verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. When you look at our life, sometimes I find out that sometimes the youth, not in here, but I cannot see their aim of the purpose of their life. Sometimes they come to church, but they don't know what pursuing in their life. So definitely it impacts in their faith. They come to church, but there's no any excitement. There's no any joy. There are no any motivation to their life. But they want to be rich. And you can ask anybody in the world, any youth, you know, especially in USA, you want to be a rich man? Yeah, I want to be a rich man. I want to make a lot of money later on. That's what they think. Why they think that I want to make a lot of money? Because they think that making money, helping them, making them satisfied. This is pretty much people's idea, general ideas. The problem here is money make their life to satisfy, which is wrong understanding of life. So it impacted their life, eventually kind of destroy their life. I have seen that when I'm in the church, helping the ministry in the Trujillo church, I have seen that many people, one by one, they go back to God, which is they pass away and they go back to God. Life, think about in the life in this world, this is just a passing by, we're here. This world is not you can really, you know, root it down in this world to satisfy in this world. This world just passing by. When I look at 20 years ago and now, and 20 years later on, I'm thinking about my life, and then just moving on. And after 20 years, I have to prepare, you know, myself. Maybe retire or prepare for either I have to buy like my site for my coffins. And we'll have to think about it. If I buy later, then I have to pay more premiums. So buy early, it's better. You know, the life is a move on. Anyways, life is a move on. That's a fact of life anyway. One time when my mother was here, many years ago, she knows one old man. He's a very rich man, and he has many, many properties. You know? He has five, six apartments, units. This is quite big units, it's six of them. So he was quite a rich man. But he always gets a... My mom went every morning go to learning English, it's ESL, you know, the adult school, and he always complained about his life. I'm so busy. I have no time to relax. I have no time to relax. I have to go here fix something to this apart, you know, this unit. And then other place, some other property complaints, I go to trying to dealing with them. The whole day just helping, trying to do this kind of things. And then after that, I'm so tired. I'm getting old. I don't know what to do with all this properties. And at the same time, he cannot giving up to other people at the same time, but he have to hold at these things. But later on, my mom told me that he passed away. He holding all these things, you know, all these apartments, you know, a lot of work every day. Of course, his properties, but when the day of his passed away, what this property means to him? Do you think it helps him? If he doesn't have the property at that time, actually he can relax himself. He can his own time. He can spend his own time. But because of this, he cannot spend his own time. But day comes is a death. You have to give up everything. You know, material things you have to think about. Of course, in some certain sense, it gives you convenience. Makes your life a little more, you know, excitement. You know, you can buy better one, you can buy faster one, you can better spacious one. It helps a little bit. But ultimately, the money and the material is not a major one to satisfy your soul. We have to understand that. Because especially in your age, in my age, if we understand, then it turned out to be a true blessing. Then we go back to God, we're seeking God and listening to the word of God, and we follow His way. This is a true blessing. I hope we gain this wisdom from now, and this in young age, then receive the blessing from God. Chapter 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I mentioned yesterday, knowledge mentioned that I know God. It's you know, meanings. I know God means I have a knowledge about God means I have a word of God within me. So that means I have a word of God within me means God is within my heart. Simply we can say, God is within my heart means I know God. I know God. That tells us the relationships. It tells us relationships. But if you have no knowledge of God, that means you have no word of God. That means you have no God in your heart. That means you have no relationship with God. Simply we can explain in this way. So we have to invest our time and our effort. So through this kind of training, yesterday I mentioned that, we can seeking our desire to understand God and His word and His knowledge. I'm not talking about the knowledge itself of memorize the Bible verses. I'm talking about understanding God's natures and God's will and God's word. The message itself to help us to stay in my heart, to change my life, things like this. So this is knowing God and understanding of God and knowledge of God, we can say. But the Israelites, they do not. Why these people were destroyed? Because of a lack of knowledge. And also the sixth continue mentioned that because you have a reject knowledge, it's not without knowing them, and they just reject, you know, just ignoring the word of God. Purposely, they purposely reject the word of God. So it did, that's why they receive the consequences. Sometimes we have not enough understanding, so without knowing, without intentions, maybe we can ignoring the word of God. This is maybe less of sins. It is a part of sin, but it is less. But Israelites, verse 6 mentioned that because you have a reject knowledge, which is you purposely reject my words, which is receive the consequence. You know, during the time of Stephen, when he preached the gospel to his people, they do not want to listen to the true message. So they actually put the earplug purposely from their heart. So they do not want to listen to the message from the Stephen. And they end up, they stone him to death because they do not want to listen to it. This is a purposely reject the word of God. Let's look at the Romans. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 28. Chapter 1, verse 28. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind. In verse 28, Romans chapter 1, verse 28, exactly the same thing like Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Because my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you reject knowledge, I also reject you from being my priest. And verse here, Romans chapter 1, verse 28,
Joseph did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer. God gave them over to a depraved mind to do these things which are not proper. So later on, the verse 29, 30, he mentioned that all this kind of evil and the sin, they started to commit themselves. But God led them to commit sin, that this is troubles. And that is because of God allowed them, make them the final judgment. But God sometimes, when we make a mistake, God responds right away, you know, chastise us and lead us and let us understand what I'm doing is wrong. And this is a true blessing of God. But since we purposely reject the word of God, then maybe God just let us, since you reject me, then go your way, which is, reach up to the final destruction. But Israelites, they purposely reject the word of God, so they receive the consequences. And most pitiful one is God reject the people way as God gave them over to a deprived mind. Just let it go. This is a true punishment, we can say. But Israelites eventually receive this punishment because they reject the word of God. Let's go back to Hosea chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 7. The more they multiplied, the more they sin against me. I will change their glory into shame. Here mentioned the more they multiplied. I think it's multiplied here described the prosperings, we can say, and the more they sin against me. We have to think about their multiplied is a blessing actually. Multiplied is when they receive the our life getting better. This is blessings. But here mentioned that they They multiply, but the more they sin against me. Sometimes we have a notice that once our life is getting prosper, getting better, that we're losing our control, our life. We lose our discipline, our life. It gives us a negative impact in our spirit and soul, and also the spiritual life. So turn out to be like this. Always, I'm interested about the Tysons, the boxers. He got all the money, so he's millions of dollars. How he wasted his money, is quite always. Why continue people using such people as entertainment? Finally, it was last week on the boxing game, he knocked out by the opponents. No more he can he might recover. Says, that's good news. But if you think about, does such kind of man has millions of dollars in his hands? It is a disastrous. Not only for him, it influences other people also. And the more he have money, the more he wastes money, which is ruined. Not only his life, it impacts to the society also, we can see. The Israelites, they reject the word of God. And then the more violence, more dare to commit sin with the money and do not go back to God for themselves and to go back to their own, their idols, Baals. So it commits sin more and more. So God, they dislike more. Verse 8. They feed on the sin of my people and direct their desire toward their iniquity. In here, the verse 8 talking about the priests. The priests, how they commit serious sin against God. They feed on the sin of my people and direct their desire toward their iniquities. Because people commit sin and they bring the animals and the, you know, things to make a sacrifice to God, but they have a desire. Let the people not to commit sin, but they have a desire. Let the people commit more sins, so they bring this for their stomachs, which is that they do not have a true heart to the people, but they themselves commit sins. And in that way, verse 9, and it will be like a people, like a priest. So I will punish them for their ways and repay them for their deed. So because not only the people commit sin, but now even the priest, even the spiritual leader in the society, they continually commit sins. So they also be punished. And here they mention them. Verse 10 is the... Chapter 4, verse 10 is, this is the consequence of their, since they reject the word of God, what happened to their life is, and they will eat, but not have enough, they will play the harlot, but not increase, because they have stopped giving heed to the Lord. Since they have, maybe they have a food to eat, but they eat it, but it's not enough. And he mentioned it, and also they will play the harlot, which is life is more... Since their heart cannot satisfy, they're seeking a more and more way to stimulate themselves, but it doesn't work for them. But eventually, it corrupted their life. That's what the chapter 4, verse 10. Chapter 4, verse 11 to verse 19, maybe this is as one unit we can think about. Chapter 4, verse 11 to 19. This is a human nature. We like to live in this world with a, you know, easy way. We don't like to live with a discipline. We like to relax. We like to just make easy way to live in this world. But if we live easy way live in our life, then eventually we destroyed our life. And easy to maintain our life to easy way is we just follow our own natures. Then we can have a which is our own way of comfortable life. Then we lose everything. When we study, what is a major force to the other way to come to destroy our study is sleeping. Always, because when I try to study, then when I go to library, open the book, then suddenly I'm so tired and sleep. So the library turned to be like my, you know, place for taking nap. It happened many times in my college. So after taking nap, and then turn out to be, you know, for my class time, so I have to go. And that's because something you have to overcome. Since you do it, then there is an obstacle, something that bothers you, that you have to penetrate it. And that's a nature. So if you cannot do that, then you cannot achieve. See, in this world, when you do something, when you achieve something, you need a discipline. This is the nature. When you accomplish something, if you just leave it, let it go away your natural life, then you cannot accomplish anything. But you have to sometimes you suffer yourself because you have a discipline yourself. To accomplish something. This is natural. But Israelites, they do not have such things. They just whatever comes and just go whatever they like their own way. That eventually destroyed their life. They do not have any discipline. It's supposed to be 10 commandments become their backbone for their life. But they do not have such things later on. You know, a lot of money, life is getting comfortable. You just let it easy. And just let their life to be easy. So eventually, they lost everything. I started exercise, and one thing I learned. Before, I look at the food, and I eat whatever I like to. But after I started exercise, one thing I learned. You know the Stairmaster, if I do the 30 minutes, I push the button, and then 30 minutes, and set it up. And then 30 minutes after that, they show the data, how many calories burn out.
You know, usually 30 minutes and 370 calories burns out. And then I turn around and go home and I look at all the things, it's calorie, I look at it. Phew, if I just drink one soda, it's 140 calories, then I have to work out 15 minutes. I don't want to do that. You know, because before I haven't thought about it. But after I exercise, it makes more like a more sensitive of that issue. So, because I know the 30 minutes, you know, the Stairmaster, have you ever done the 30 minutes? It's quite tough. Once the whole body is sweating, and then drink one soda and half a gun. No, I don't want it. I want to drink water, it's better. So that makes, you know, give us the idea, the disciplines. A discipline, it helps us. You have to make sense, and then you can have disciplines. Yeah. So how we can avoid the temptations. Avoid the temptation so you can continue, you can hold your discipline in your life. Because one thing that allow in your life, it bothers your way of path of your life to God. And how much it impact in your life. You know it, then you don't do it. So understanding, it important things. So it really hard. So this we let us how your life, my life. We can set something goal and set some our life, have a discipline in our life. Then we can build up ourselves. Christian life, you know, the 2 week during this NYTS 2 week, why did it help us? Because we have a discipline ourselves. In the morning, anybody wants to wake up 7 o'clock. Now the second week, you know, toward the second, anybody wants to wake up 7 o'clock. Especially second week, needed 30, 40 more minutes. You know, when the student speech convocation start the beginning, all the kids, they wake up before even ring the bell. But after first, second, third day, even ring the bell, they don't want to wake up. They want to get into the sleeping bags. But we need a discipline. So we wake them up. We, you know, you let them get up. Because of the discipline, even though there are little some difficulties, but set some according to the time, set the time. So let them training themselves. So build up themselves. Accomplish something in their life. This is a Christian life. So we are different than other people's. Even in this world, you make a successful life, you need this discipline. I need a discipline to make a successful life. Even as a Christian, this is a priority in our life. We need a discipline. Once we losing our discipline, nowadays in life is getting easier, everything, you know, plenty of everything. So what is lose from our life is our spirit. Because we don't have a hungry, we call it a spirit of hungry, hunger spirit. You know, you want to be a boxer, then you have to be hungry. We have to be poor, then you can be a good boxer, something like that. But hunger, the spirit of hunger means, I want this. You know, kind of, you just think in your mind that, I want to make this. If you are Christians, I want to make a successful Christian life. No matter what other people say, this is my life, and this is my way I'll go my life. And no matter what other people say, I go to church. No matter what other people say, I pray. No matter what other people look at, this is my Christian life, my disciplined ways of my life. And this is we do not look at other people, you know, what other people look at that, don't pray, you know, what other people look at that, don't read the Bible. But we just, according to my schedule, and we're just pursuing to build up myself. This is a true spirit of Christian life. And I hope we, our other brothers and sisters, we can do this way to build up ourselves. Let's look at the chapter for verse 11. Hollow trees, wine, and new wine take away the understanding. You mentioned that hollow tree, wine, and new wine, this is a pledges, you know, the pleasure and sexual pleasures and all human nature, the flesh pleasure, all included. But this one attract their life. You know, they pull their minds away from God.
People sometimes when they go to Las Vegas, I have noticed one that when I was in college, I have one that know he really, his mind is gone to the Las Vegas. He's a rich man, you know, he has a family, his parents are rich in Korea. But he can spend start of money in the money into Las Vegas. Every weekend, time comes Friday night, and forget about it and go to Las Vegas. And Saturday come back and do the next week work. And constantly in his mind, I have noticed that. And this gambling is holding his mind totally. Constantly losing the money. So very, they cannot get away. And I said, why he cannot get away? There is a certain force. And once we commit sin, you know, we have to understand, once we commit sin, then there's a force come follow us. You know, we can say, that's why we can say addictions. When, you know, those people who addicted in a pornography things, I heard that they cannot get away by their own strength. You know, things start to look at the you know, internet, they get in, they cannot get away. There is a force. This is, we can say, is a spiritual evil force. Follow us, capture us. Once we addicted, we cannot get away. So we have to know pleasures. Pleasures many times it give a hold to the Satan coming in to holding us. Once we addicted, there is no more have a chance to get away without God's help. So we have to be aware of ourselves. That's why we need the discipline. We have to have a sober mind all the time so we do not fall in the trap of our own pleasure, which give a hold to Satan to holding our life away from God. Once we are addicted, then we're losing the minds of discernment. Discernment. One of the article I read, he's stealing the other people's money. It was in the marketplace. He saw the money, and then he took, you know, forced to take the money and then run away. He was captured. And then later on, the police asked, why are you trying to steal the money in the daytime, even in the marketplace? Haven't you think about you will capture easily at such times? They say, at that time, only in his mind, only the money. Nothing else, only the money. So just take off. Maybe he thought he can take the money, then he run away, he thought. But money in his mind, nothing else can see but only money. So it happened to him. That's kind of, I think it's addictions. Addiction is the same way patterns come to our life. Forget about other things, which is losing our discernment. Yeah. Let's look at the verse 12. My people consert their wooden idol and their diviners, the ones inform them, for the spirit of a harlot has led them astray. They have played the harlots, departing from their God. Let's look at the Jeremiah chapter 2. Since you study this, Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 27. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 27. Who say to a tree, you are my father, and to a stone, you gave me birth? For they have turned their back to me, and not their face. But in the time of their trouble, they will say, rise and save us. Have you noticed here think that when I say, put the wooden things here, say, you are my mother, you are my father. What do you think if you have a normal minded, if you have normal mind? If you have a normal understandings and turn to the wooden idols and, oh, you're my God, what do you think? It's insane. You know, nowadays a lot of insane in Asia and here even United States. They carve themselves for idols and put there on the on the
many restaurants, right? They put there, put on the corner, and then call the shrine, put the two candles, burn every day, spend money for that, and something, there's an idol with the big bellies, and sit there, they're just worshiping like this. You know, how foolish they are. They bought this one from somewhere on the store and put the apple and the pear and put it there. Just think about how foolish they are, because they do not have a discernment. They do not have a discernment. Here, people that in verse 12 mentioned, my people consulted their wooden idol. This much become the foolish themselves. With the normal minded, we can discern this is considered foolish. But sometimes we're doing that too. You have noticed sometimes when you're seeking something that become an idol beside God, then that is become your idol. Then you're worshiping that actually. Maybe your own confidence, maybe your own knowledge, your own intelligence, your own money. It becomes your idol. The same thing happened to you too then. So we have to be careful. We have to humble ourselves. Why? Because we do not worshiping idols. When we become a pride coming into us, pride, you know, you can be proud, I can be proud. Have you detected sometimes? Oh, I'm proud of myself. Many times I detect myself. Sometimes I think something that, oh, that's my own pride. My own. Why we have to pray to God? If constantly we pray to God, when we get pride coming up, then we can detect, oh, this is pride. We have to get away from this. Otherwise, without knowing us, we can be proud of ourselves. When we work for God, with our own pride, we can work for God. When we do something, even, when Jesus talking about the two people praying in the temple of God, one is tax collector, the other one is Pharisees, when the both of them, they actually desire to pray to God, actually, both of them. It's not they come to God. I'm sure because the Pharisees, he never have an intention himself. I wanna show up myself. I wanna show my pride, heart of pride to God. I don't think he has that heart. But in his prayer, can tell his what kind of heart he has. The pride. It's not he prayed to God, but actually worshiping his own idol himself. Because God never listened to such kind of a heart. But the sinner is a different. Because he has a heart of humility. I'm trying to find out that word, humility. Humility helps him to understand he is a sinner. You and I, we are sinners. No matter what kind of ability we have, no matter what kind of things accomplished in this world, no matter what kind of things have done in the church, still we are sinners in the sight of God. We are nothing better than that. We just have to understand this fact, and that we can always clear about our own identity and understanding our with the humility that we do not fall in that trap. So once you have a pride, then you become what you can tell is that you and I will become like a spiritual adultery the moment when the pride coming in. It's the same thing like worshiping idols. Let's look at the chapter 4, verse 15. Let's move on to... Though you Israel play the harlot, do not let Judah become guilty. Also, do not go to Gilgal and go up to Beth-Even and take the oath as the Lord lives. And here mentioned the mention about the two plays. Since the Israelites play the harlot, so Judah, please you, do not go there. That's what it hears. Maybe this message is toward to us. Since Israel
Israelites, they commit sin in this way. So hope you do not commit the same sin like Israelites. So do not let Judah become guilty. Also, do not go to Gilgal and go up to Bethaven. You know the Gilgal? History of Gilgal? Gilgal. Gilgal is a place where the Israelites they cross over the Jordan River. You know they stay there, have the circumcision there, so roll away they call the Gilgal is roll away means right is roll away their previous sins away. So Israelites they determine themselves they wanna be a the children of God. That's a Gilgal. But here mentioned, do not go to Gilgal. Why? Because Gilgal turned to be place to worshiping idol in this place. And go up to the Beth-Aven. The Beth-Aven is a nickname of Bethel. You know Bethel, do you know the story of Bethel too? Jacob. When Jacob was run away from his brother, and he went to sleep there, God showed up. I encourage him. I'll be with you in his dream. So strengthen him. Give strength in him. So Bethel, what is the meaning of Bethel? House of God. Then what is this meaning of Bethaven? If you have a study Bible, can tell. House of wickedness. So the Bethel's nickname is Bethaven, which is turned to be like this. In both of the place. So, God, don't go such a place. It was before it was a good place, a memorable place, and a good history behind there. But now you better not to go there because this place is worshiping idols away from there. Which means give us a message is, if you're Christians, do not get close to sin, which means Gilgal, it seems like it makes Gilgal and the Bethaven makes you the excuse. You know, this is a place I can go. This is not a big deal. But God says, don't go there. Already this place is corrupted. If you go there, you will influence, and you turn out to be the same person like them. So you also receive the same condemnation, just like they receive the same condemnation, like them. You know, the sin, you and I, we are not the strong. We should away from sins. No matter what the small sins, don't think that this is the little ones. Do not close the sins. You know, when we're in college, in your life and my, I'm not in college, but you're like when you're in college, remember because you have a lot of people around you, your friends, your college, you know, classmates, that makes you to the other way influence your life. Maybe because a negative way will influence your life. Because you have some pressure because you want to be friends with them. So you can follow them. Possible. But if there is a sin, you have a clear that there is a sin that do not go there. This is a Christian life. You know that Joseph, you know the Daniel's life? Because there is clearly, you know, discerned what is a sin and what is not sin. So they survive. Not only survive them, their life was successful. You know that in the college life, we need friends out there. We need to hang around sometimes. You can release your stress. But remember, if there is a sin, do not associate with them. Place there, don't go. And also, we have a mass media like internet, whatever. Before you click it in, remember, if there is a possibility, if there is a sin. And also, when you go to movies, I'm sure because I say, don't go to movie, I'm sure you go to movie anyways. But what I'm saying is, remember, when you go to see the movie, if there is a sin, it's up to your decisions. Anything, it bothers your faith. If you have a faith, you need this God. Sacrifice this much, and get returning is a lot later on. So do not go. Do not dare you say, it's okay, no, that's not a big deal. No, it is a big deal as a Christian. Don't close to sins. This is what he is saying. Warning to the Judah, actually the warning to us also. And And also, this is just 1 minute. I finished. Ring the bell. How is it? Because I have to read the Korean in this way. And take the oath, which means I have a faith, so I have no problems. Don't think that way. Do not have overconfidence yourself. You know, confidence is good. We need a confidence in our life. You know, we need a confidence, but do not make overconfidence. Overconfidence is came from us. It's not came from God. Just confidence is good, but overconfidence, it's actually harm to us. So that's here telling us, which is give a humble heart. We have to, without God's protections, it was impossible that our faith can be intake, you know, safe save our faith. It all came from God. So do not make overconfidence ourselves. Verse 16 and 18, this is Ephraim, there's the stubborn people, and this is which is come onto the judgments. 17 is Ephraim is joined to idol, which is too late of, you know, for themselves, and they'll receive which is a consequence. Verse 19, the wind wrapped them in its wing, which is this is talking about the power of wind and bring them to showing their the shame, you know, for their life.